He's stonewalling me like an officer bubbles.
You touch me with that bubble, you're going into custody.
The situation right now, we've tried to go and just do a small, short interview with Officer Bubbles, just joking around with him, asking if there's any unruly hippies who are blowing bubbles at him today, and he wouldn't answer. And I asked him about the impending lawsuit against YouTube. He wouldn't answer. So I told him, I'm just joking around with you, trying to have some fun. And he turned his back to me, so I just left him alone for now. But I'm sure everyone has seen the Officer Bubbles footage by this point, but arresting a girl for blowing bubbles is a little bit overkill, and it's bullying tactics, it's intimidation tactics, and we shouldn't stand for that. So if he's going to do that in front of a camera, then from now on he's going to be known as Officer Bubbles. You can't refer to him as Officer A. Josephs anymore, unless he wants to make a formal apology to that girl and say, yes, I was stressed out that day. I made a few mistakes. I'd like to, apologize for treating you that way and, shake on it or hug on it or do something just to make amends for it instead of stonewalling everybody and just acting like, what you did was justified, because it wasn't. We don't need police officers like that. We need peace officers.
Speaking with Brian Law. Brian Law, I was actually wondering, though, is there anything, any updates with what's going on with your case? Because I know you were one of the first G20 arrests or arrests related to the G20. What's going on with that?
I put in a complaint to the OIPRD. The complaint came back after being investigated by Detective Nancy Van Vegel of 52 Division. So they had the police investigate themselves in the matter. They determined that there was no wrongdoing on the behalf of the police, because the police were acting on information at that time, which they believed I was trespassing on private property, which I wasn't, but they assumed that I was, so then therefore anything they did inside of that was completely legal under Trespass to Property Act subsection 2. If you're asked to leave a property and you refuse to leave, the police do have a right under Canadian law to force you to identify yourself. However, I was never asked to leave any private property because I wasn't on private property. I was told that I couldn't film the outside of a building without a permit, which, by the way, is not true. If anybody wants to film a building, you can film any building you want in a public area as long as you want, as long as you are on a public sidewalk. But even on the day, they wouldn't tell me that I was trespassing. They told me it was investigative detention. They didn't even tell me I was officially under arrest until about a month later, when I had to pay for an arrest report. I guess the Office of the Independent Police Review Director reviewed the appeal and decided that the decision by the Chief of Police was accurate, that there was no wrongdoing on the behalf of the police. So now if I want to do anything further, I have to seek counsel to bring them to court, which could take years, and the settlement won't be worth the costs to bring this person to court. So it's like this Kafka-esque style trial system where, you lose faith in the system because they put you through so many bureaucratic hurdles that it doesn't make it financially worth it to approach a private lawyer to bring an officer to court. And then what are you going to get? You're going to get public money. I don't want the public's money. I want their money if I'm going to sue them. But since he was in uniform that day and acting as a duty officer, I would have to sue the officer. And it's unfortunate that the OIPRD is basically an extension of the police. It's an extension of the arm of the police. And to investigate themselves with police officers didn't really give me any sense of justice, because I felt like I wasn't doing anything wrong that day. I was being courteous and cordial, and they chose to force me to identify myself. They put us in handcuffs for 40 minutes. And granted, the officers were nice, but the fact of the matter is they had no legal right to put me in handcuffs for filming on a public street and then claim afterwards that I was trespassing. So for now, my situation is I'm unfortunately just going to have to let it go, because I don't have the means to hire a lawyer to bring them to court and for it to take 2 or 3 years to get this officer in front of a judge. And given the fact that it was viewed by the OIPRD to be a lawful justification to put me in handcuffs for 40 minutes to identify me on a public street, that would be used against me in court, because both the appeal and the original investigation found there was no wrongdoing. So my feelings are that the judge would probably rule the same way. I did put in a separate complaint with the OIPRD for being ID'd and having my laminated identification badge stolen from me by four officers at Cherry Beach, and that happened on June 25th. That one is part of the systemic review by the OIPRD. I provided them with footage, and I'm hoping that they can use that footage to find those officers acting outside of the mandate of the law. And we need the officers, especially police officers, to act inside of the law, because they're upholding the law. law, they're officers of the law, and if they're not going to act within the confines of the law, then there is no reason to have laws anymore if people aren't equal before the law. So we're on cop watch today.
The latest Press for Truth, we're talking about Into the Fire coming out. What can people expect, and when is this coming out?
Into the Fire comes out on April 22nd, 2011. It comes out at the Bloor Cinema. That's our first screening of it. We'll also be releasing the film the next day on the internet for everyone to watch for free. So if you can't get down here, wait 24 hours, it'll be online. On the same day, we're going to be releasing over 19 hours of footage of Charlie Veach in the Torontonimo Detention Center. That's public footage, in my view, that belongs to the public. It doesn't belong to any one person. In fact, I think all 3,000 hours should be released to the public. You can expect to see over 140 hours of footage edited down into a really tight two-hour film that basically outlines everything that happened from the Thursday until the following Monday of the G20 summit, and then the following months afterwards, where we went to protests and saw the community starting to organize in a unified fashion. And that's exactly what we need to continue doing, is uniting together and working against these oppressive measures. And we don't need the police holding us back from doing this. We need the police on our side to arrest the real criminals that are inside that U.S. consulate, the real criminals that are inside of the Metro Convention Center during the G20 summit. We need to make the G20 an election issue. I mean, it was the largest mass arrest in Canadian history. It was an extreme violation of our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and it wasn't just a violation of the 1,105 people that were arrested. It was a violation of 34 million people who live in Canada under the same laws, because if you were there, you would have been treated that way. And if we let the police get away with it this time, it's going to set a precedent that we're okay with letting them get away with it again, which we're not.
Do you understand me?
Watch Into the Fire.